Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this moment of worship. This is where we belong, in your presence. To worship you, to revel at your presence, and enjoy your presence, Lord. We choose to sit back this weekend, Lord, and drink from your cup. Fill our cups, O Lord, that they may overflow like deities. Heal and deliver. Lift us, O Lord. Shine your face upon us, O Lord, as men. And as we share your word and we continue to hear from you, Lord, we know your word heals. Say to your disciples that you were already cleansed by the word you've heard. Father, as we hear your word today, we will be cleansed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, welcome back from lunch. Hope you enjoyed it. We are so blessed this afternoon once again. And of course, we'll be having the last session and anticipate a great move of God. And there will be healings again, because God is digging deeper and deeper into our hearts, bringing us back to himself, because we belong to him anyway. The enemy never created man, so he has no concern. The only thing he's interested in is to destroy us. You see, the enemy will build you up to break you down, but the Lord will break you down to build you up. I pray that God will break us today so that he may build us. Hallelujah. So we are blessed this afternoon to have another man of God from Africa, from Uganda. He's a man that led me to Christ. We're back in 87. I was a little boy. I've grown up with him, and he has been a good spiritual father. I've had two spiritual fathers. For those who know Johnny Bunjo, he's also another man of God. They cover me in the spirit. And I enjoy their company. So he's the man that I've known for long. And when the Lord called me into this man's ministry, he had called him into this ministry at the same time. But we didn't know about that until when we shared our notes. And it was the same thing. And the Lord knitted us together. And we started working together in that ministry called Married to Manhood, as you see on the t-shirts. Thank you very much for supporting through buying those t-shirts. So he's coming to speak to us in this session. Please listen to him. He's a man. I've listened to him and I've been blessed all these years. He has also written books. The Lord has told us to put down the things that he has given us in two books. But I know men don't read so much, but we have to. You have to remember, what is the last book you bought? Did you finish it when you bought it? Did you finish it when you read it? Did you finish it? We stop on the way and we never finish the books we buy. So I pray that we finish these ones. These are small volumes. And I think just for any donation into his ministry, that would be good. We prefer doing that than putting a price. Because we want every man. Actually, for me, at the end of the day, if you don't have the money, pick my book, go and read it. I prefer donating. My personal books. If you don't have any money and you really want to take one, and you don't have money, maybe you need to come prepared, just take one up. I feel good to donate to you. Giving feels good. Please pick one if you like. So let us welcome this man of God to come and tell us, Pastor George Kasirye. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so blessed to be here this afternoon, and especially speaking to you, men. I bring greetings from Uganda, and especially from my wife and my four children. I have two boys and two girls. I spoke to them this morning, and they sent their greetings to you. I pray that you understand my accent, because I also try to understand yours. So may the Lord give us grace as we communicate to each other. David, my son, I'm proud of him. I've seen him growing up in the Lord. Yesterday, I was standing there, and somehow I was drawn to look at him. The picture that I saw him when he was coming to the Lord flashed, came back to me. And I saw him putting on a shirt, young boy, slender, but smart. Then afterwards, I saw a big man, grown up, speaking to men. And my heart was so blessed. So blessed to minister with my son. I'm learning much from him. He was learning much from me, and now I'm learning much from him. Actually, he was the first one to publish the book. I learned from him how to write books. Can you imagine? So, David, I'm proud of you. I was a young man by that time when I went to his village to minister. And I loved Jesus, and I'm still loving Jesus. Thank you, Niger. Thank you, Malcolm, for hosting us and feeding us. We are very, very comfortable. I don't take this for granted to be speaking to you, men of God. I would love to sit to hear from you because you're men of experience. You've seen a lot. But because of the grace of God, he has allowed me to speak to you. I'm going to speak out my heart, just to share with you my heart. What I've seen, what I've known through these years that I've been walking with the Lord. The way I was brought up was a little bit humble. My father, I think he didn't know what to do with a son. But I don't blame him because I know that is how he was brought up. He passed on to me exactly what was passed on to him. He was a no-nonsense man. And to him, that was the definition of a father. I grew up fearing my father, my dad. I hated coming near him. And I dreaded hearing his voice. When he called me Kasirye, I would tremble. I would come trembling. And I would sit far away because I know what's going to come next. I dreaded to hear my father's voice calling me. Because hearing my father's, I know he's going to beat me, shout at me, kick me, slap me. That was what I knew about my father. There's no one day I remember that my father had ever called me to sit me down and we talk. No one day till I left his home. He had never spoken to me. He's never told me anything about growing up as a young man. This is sad. I remember very well the days when my father was going for a trip. Those are the days, those are my best days in my life. My father going for a trip, there are going to be peace. We're going to rejoice. He's not at home, so we can do whatever we want. My worst day was when my mother said, "Your father is coming back home." I would feel sick, fall sick straight away, because my father is coming back home. In my culture, Fathers, they don't have relationship with their children. When visitors come, children come, greet, after greeting, go away. When you stop around hearing what the big people are talking about, you're in trouble. So I grew up fearing older people. I didn't want to mix up with people who are older than me. Inside of me, I was so small and fearful. And this affected my studies. When I went to school, I felt so timid that I could not even put up my hand to answer any question because I feared people looking at me. That's how much I was affected by my own father. My manhood was so small. Outward, I was growing, I was, you know, strong outwardly as a male, but inside of me, the man was dying. The man was dying. It affected me so much that even after coming to Jesus, it was not easy for me to stand before people to speak. I always knew I can't do anything. I can't be anything. Because I had my father speaking to me that you will never be anything. You're stupid. Look at him. Look at his head. Look at his legs. Mentioning everything about me in a bad way. So when I came to Jesus, I would come to church and sit behind. I was the last person who was in the church. The last seat. That was the place that belonged to me. I feared coming front because people are going to look at me. Or maybe a preacher will point out at me or raise me up and all people look at me. I can't dare that. So I would sit back. It has been the grace of God after coming to Jesus, discovering that I'm someone, I can do something. There is no one day I had ever seen my father touching my mother in a loving way. No. When my mother was walking with my father, there was always a distance. My father was following like a dog, following its master. I never had any word from my father telling my mother that I love you. Here is a young man growing up to become a husband, to become a father, but not mentored into how to be a good father, how to be a good husband. Now, I'm grown up. I have to marry. I get a beautiful wife. Very beautiful. I marry her. I was stuck with her for some time. I didn't know what to do with her. The first years of my marriage were terrible. Terrible. My wife complained a lot about me. I was confused. I didn't know what to do with her. I've never seen anything like love from my father to my mother. She was demanding things I've never heard of. Demanding love from me? Where did I get it? Where did I see it? How do I know how to love a woman? Young boys learn from their fathers how to treat a woman. What you saw your father doing is exactly what you do to your wife, to your children. That is the mentoring process. That's why in this ministry, of Male to Manhood, we have a slogan that says, change a man and change generations. My first year, as I said, were terrible. My wife used to tell me that my husband, you don't love me. That one went bad with me. I didn't like to hear that I don't love her. I said, how dare you say I don't love you? I left all other women and I married you. Here you are, you say, I don't love you. How? Why? Have you seen me with other women? I was so furious. And she kept quiet. Next time he said, I know you don't love me. I was almost running mad. I say, why do you keep saying that I don't love you? Yet you are the only woman I have in the whole world. She says, if you love me, you would say it. I said, what? Yes, you would say it. So that's how I know that you don't love me. I said, saying what? I said it once, and I think that was all. When I was marrying you, I said, I love you. How would you tell me to say it again and again and again? It was a new vocabulary to me. I've never heard it from my father. Never at all. My wife, she's demanding something from me that I don't have. Where can I get it from? Am I ready to change? Am I ready to break loose from the cycle, from what was passed on to me? It was a decision to make. She complained about giving her time, taking her out. I've never seen my dad taking my mother out. I'm stuck with this woman. Demanding things that I've never heard of. I don't know what to do. Do you know that men, we lose it when we marry? Sometimes we lose our wives because we get completely upset with their demands. Because they are demanding things that we don't know how to give. Because nothing was passed on to us. We're not given anything when we are growing up. Or maybe what we received is what we're giving out. Sometimes they complain and they keep quiet. Some men are so adamant that they don't want to hear what the women want them to receive. I had to choose whether I do what my wife wants me to do, or I learn from her, or I lose her. It was a decision to make. I felt my love and my relationship was growing cold day by day. I went in prayer. I said, Lord, I didn't know what I was entering in. Is this what you got to be in marriage? It's too much demands. Then I had to say, Lord, do a new work in me. Let me humble myself. Let me swallow my pride, my ego as a man, that I listen from my wife because I want to please her. I want to be a man to this woman. Teach me. Help me. I opened up to her and I told her, my wife, I'm ready to listen to you and to be taught by you how to be a good man to you. Tell me whatever you want me to do to you, to make you happy. I saw her smile. It was like, okay. If you are ready to hear and to know how to behave like a man, to make me happy, then I'm ready to teach you. How many men are ready to be taught by women how to love them? Some women have tried to speak to us. Some of us were married and they give up. There are some decisions as men that we have to make. Slowly by slowly, I began to practice the word love. To speak, how to learn how to speak it. I would speak it once. 2 days, 3 days, I forget. And she comes back and say, hey, you forgot. You didn't tell me. Say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep on practicing. Can you imagine? Practicing. How to say, I love you. I had to do it. I had to swallow my pride. I had to say, sorry, I'm sorry, I've forgotten, but okay. Let me try again. Not until God gave me grace that it became my second nature. It's so easy. I can say it in the morning. I can say it in the afternoon. I can say it in the evening. But I want to tell you this, it wasn't easy. But I had to make a choice. I had to learn on the job. Now, I get children. I have to decide whether to be a good father or to behave like my father. I've never seen any father playing with his children. So I had to decide, how am I going to be a friend to my children? I read some books. I read the Bible. And I prayed that the Holy Spirit change my life, change my lifestyle. But was it easy? Loving my children. I want to tell you this. When you are a man and you miss the love from your father, it's very difficult for you to love your children. You can pretend. You can do it once, but not consistent. Sometimes I would feel something drawing me back, putting me down. I would feel resistance in me just to hug my children because I've never received any hug from my father. Just a hug is something important. Hugging your child, you're imparting something that afterwards that child, that son will pass on to his children because he has learned it. You've passed on to that child. But I've never received any hug from my dad. Now I would bring my hand like this and stop on the way. Something was standing on my way. And I would just say, I have to break this. Come, my son. Come, my child. But not with a willing heart, but just trying to say, do it. My child, I love you. My child. You see how we are struggling as men? Each one of us, there's something you are struggling with. You know inside of you that I should do this. But there's a struggle. So there must be a determination and a result. Must make a resolution. Praise God that this evening, after my son has come back to speak to us, we shall make a resolution. Speaking out to change things in our time, in our generation. We must be determined. We must be serious. And I know this conference is not just coming together as men. There is something divine that the Lord is depositing in us to change our future. We can't change the past. Okay. But we can change our future. We can't keep blaming our past. They did their part. That's what they knew. I forgave my father after knowing the truth because I knew that is what he knew. He was giving me what his father gave him. And I say, I have to begin a new generation. It takes courage. It takes courage, my brother. My son, I wanted to make him my friend, to be a friend to him. But it was difficult, but I was praying. I said, Lord, help me. I don't want to lose my son. He's now 15 years old, my firstborn. But I want to say, at least I see that friendship. It's still coming. It's still there. I've not lost it. Because when we are together, he's free to hug me and to hold my hand. My son can do this. Just, hello, Daddy. How are you today? How are you doing, Daddy? He can do this. At first, I felt insulted. My son to touch my bald head. I was like, how can your son do this? But along the way, the Holy Spirit was whispering to me, don't worry, leave him. Let him come closer to you. Sometimes you come and pat my belly. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. How are you today? How was your day? Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. I've never seen this anywhere. It's a new thing. New generation. I have to accept it. One day, my father came to visit me. When I came back home, my young children came and jumped all over me. On the shoulder, on the back. And my dad looked and said, huh? My son, you're spoiling my grandchildren. Why do you allow them to climb around? Just, that's not good. That's not the way I brought you up. To him, I was spoiling my children because they are all over me. He had never seen it. He had never seen it anyway. Because the way he brought us up, when you come to greet at a distance and afterwards, run away. That is it. That's life. I'm struggling to break loose from a cycle, from a generation to begin a new generation. It takes courage. It takes understand boldness. My daughters, we also began to behave like you people on the Valentine's Day because we learned much of things from you guys. And we practice on the Valentine Day. We take our wives out. My daughter, she's 16 years old, but at age of 13, I felt in my spirit that I have to develop this relationship with my daughter. And I say, I'm going to be your Valentine. So I'll be taking you out every Valentine Day till you grow up and you get a man. Then after handing you over to that man, then you enjoy. But from now onwards, I'm your Valentine. So please expect me to take you out. And every time when we are going out, she puts on her best. Like putting on, going out with her boyfriend. I say, I'm going to be your boyfriend. So don't you worry. You just put on your best. Let's go out. Trying to break loose from that tradition, don't come closer to your daughter. don't show her love. But if you don't come closer to your daughter, someone else is going to come closer to her. When she's young, she's longing for that affection. She's a girl. She needs to be reassured. Where is she going to receive that assurance? Should be a father. A father-daughter relationship is very important. I'm telling you this just to show you that it is still a struggle. I've been struggling and I'm still struggling. I want to break loose from a generation to begin a new generation. We can. When she, on her 16th birthday, I had a thought in me that I should give my daughter a ring. I called it a purity ring. It was a surprise. I went in a shop and I bought a very good ring. I called her in the bedroom. She was, the mother was there and she didn't know. And I say, my daughter, I want you to promise me. I want to make a covenant with you. And I want to give you this purity ring. You put it on. I'm going to put it on your finger. You'll give it to me on the day when your husband is putting a ring on your finger. And I put the ring on her finger. We prayed together. And I said, promise me that you won't get involved in any relationship that is outside God's will. Promise me that when you get a boyfriend, you'll tell me, you let me know that you don't keep it secret. I want to go through this journey of teenager up to the time when you're growing up together. She did the promise. We prayed together. And she's proud of that ring. Everywhere she goes, she shows that ring. That you see this ring? It was given to me by my father. I'm her boyfriend. I'm his boyfriend. I'm in love with my father. Till that day that I get a man. And I'll give this ring back to my father. I'm learning how to make a difference. Learning how to begin a new generation. What I'm doing to my children now is what they're going to pass on. So a new generation is beginning. Beginning with who? Me. You can break loose from the old and then you can begin. If you still have an opportunity, it's not too late. Not too late. Not too late. I want to share with you something small before you pray. If you have your Bible, would you please open with me in Judges chapter 6. There is a very exciting man here that I was thinking about, and I want to say something, to learn something from him. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. David, are you there? Can you read for us?
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, unto him, and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?
Man of valor. Gideon, all along, he never knew that he was a man of valor. Because as you read, you realize that he gave reasons, very good reasons, practical reasons to the angel, telling him about his background, about his history, and what his family is. And God is speaking to him, telling him that you are a great man. But something that's very interesting, God told him something in verse 25, that there was something that was standing in his way, that was hindering him to be a great man, and he told him to do something about it. Could you please read verse 25?
The same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has,
and cut down the wooden image that is besides it.
Can you say it again? Read it. Verse 25 again.
25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has.
That your father
has.
Tear down, bring down your father's altar.
And cut down the wooden image that is beside it.
And then, verse 26.
And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement.
This is what I want to talk about. The angels guiding this man of valor. At this moment, he knows that he's nothing. And he's giving reasons, good reasons, that my family is one of the least family, my clan, one of the least clans. How dare you tell me to go and save Israel from the hand of Midians? Then the angel is directing him to his father's home. And they say, hey, man, there is an altar that was built behind your father's house. And that altar, your father is a priest. So that altar represents or stands in your way. The demons and powers of evil that are affecting your family comes from that altar that was built by your father. My fellow men, some of us, and many of us, we are the first generation of Christians. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are the first generation of Christians? Put up your hand. First generation. Good. First generation Christians, they have a great mandate. Because you are dealing with certain things, some altars in your family, in your generation, that have never been dealt with by anyone. Our great grandfathers and our father, they built altars. Some altars are sexual altars. Some of us men, we are suffering, afflicted, beaten down by the altars that our fathers set. As I will be revealing this to you. So, there is a man of valor that when he looks at himself, it's like he's nothing. But God is telling him that you go and deal with what has brought you, what has made you to be what you are. There is an altar built by your father, dedicated to Satan. So there are powers and demonic powers and habits that are being empowered from that altar, attacking you as boys, as children, as a family. Then after that, he told him, after you bring down that altar, raise up a new altar for God. There is an altar for Baal that was raised up by your father, but bring it down. After destroying it, at the same place, raise up a godly altar. That's the demand we men we have. Let me tell you this. In my family, there was an altar that I had to bring down or leave it and bring me down. So I either bring it down or it brings me down. It's a decision to make. In my family, in all the generation that I knew about, there was no man who had ever given birth to children from one wife. You understand what I mean? All men in my family, generations, about four generations, I made a research. They had children from more than one wife. It was very clear to me. And the Lord had to reveal to me, because I was struggling with a spirit of lust. It attacked me to the extent that even after becoming born again and becoming a pastor, it almost brought me down. I'm speaking to you men. One day I was so tired because I was losing it completely. I was so desperate. I loved Jesus. I want to be walk right with God. That there was something that was so powerful that was fueling me. Then when I went in prayer, very desperate, I'm tired, I'd say, no, Lord, this is not the way I should be as a man of God. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he brought something that was killing all the sons of the men in my family. He brought to me in a dream. And he showed me an old dog. Very old. Huge. It was attacking me that night. Then I felt empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I attacked it. I got hold of it, I broke it into pieces, and I woke up when I was so tired, sweating, panting. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that is the killer of all men in your family. That is what has been pursuing you. You've destroyed it. You've finished it. I want to testify before God. From that moment on, that lust disappeared. That lust that keeps a man awake. You know what I'm talking about. Keeps a man awake till you feed it. Some men, you've gone to the extent of doing stuff that you don't like. Yes. You've tested things that afterwards you feel bad. You repent today. You get some peace for 2 days or 1 day. It surfaces. Some of you guys, you gave up and say, ah, I think this one now. It's me now. Many, we are struggling with things. It's tough. But some of the things that we are struggling with are being carried forward. They have their origin It's not only you, but when you look in the line of all men in your family, are hit down by that same spirit. To break loose, you need to come back to the Lord seriously to face it. If not, if need be, to get another man to confront it. Because if not that, it will bring you down. Then after that, you pass it on to another generation. It wasn't easy for me to sleep in a room with a woman and I don't disturb her. We are men. I'm talking to men, my fellow men. It's something I didn't want, but I didn't know what to do. Me sleeping in a room with a woman or with a girl till daytime without disturbing her peace? No. No. What is this? Why is it so? After overcoming that spirit, I felt the peace of God. I felt the victory in my spirit. I felt that I can control myself. What we call self-control. Sometimes you reach a level where you can't control yourself. Something is controlling you. You are no longer controlling yourself. There is a spirit that is controlling you. So look at this man, Gideon. God is telling Gideon that go and deal with that altar that your father built. Bring it down. And after that, raise up a new altar. That is what men, we are supposed to do. Confront your family altars. Look into your family. What brought down all men? When Gideon did that, something happened. It was so dramatic that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And straight away he led an army to attack the Midians. And they got a very big victory. And he saved that his nation. But the beginning point, dealing with the father's altar. Altar. Some of us, we have the history of our fathers and our great grandfathers of not retaining or not maintaining marriage. At a certain age, something happens and you break off. You divorce. It's on record. Check it out. Check it out. Don't take it for granted. If you don't check it out, it will check you out. This is serious stuff as men. Satan is out to destroy us, destroy our generations, but we are here to break loose from the generational curses, generational failures. By the grace of God, we begin a new generation. It can begin. People have testimonies that they can give what the Lord has done. Amen? As I finish, there is a man that you know very well in the Bible called David. David was a man called by God to produce a new generation after him. And something happened. It was a casual, something casual. You know the story very well. It began like a joke. Looking at a woman who is bathing. And the lust took over. But it didn't stop there. It was the beginning of great things bad thing that were going to happen to him and to his family. After committing adultery with that woman, it's like he opened up to a spirit, a sexual goddess spirit, into his family. Because of being a father, being the head, he had authority to open up to either the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil. It stepped in his family. How do I know this? Look at his son Amnon. Amnon is hit by lust, the spirit of lust that he cannot explain. When you read about Amnon's lust, you get amazed. I was reading about it this morning and I was like, this was crazy. Lusting for your sister to the extent of falling sick. For the extent of trying all what you can to get her. Where did that spirit come from? The head of the family, a man in authority, opened up to a spirit when that day, hitting all the boys. After Amnon, Absalom. Absalom was brought down. He slept with his father's concubines. All of them, bloody delight. That is serious. Serious. So the spirit was at rampage. Bring down every boy, every boy, every man, every man. Adonijah was hit in the same way. Solomon. How can a man, let's be honest, how can you have 700 wives and 300 concubines? What kind of life is that? Where do you get that strength? You have one woman and you can't function well, and she's complaining. And you talk of 700, 1,000. That's not normal. Only one wife is complaining. Servants of God, my fellow men, we are about to make a resolution this evening. We are about to say, enough is enough. It starts in your heart. You can break loose. You can begin afresh. It's not too late. You didn't come here for just a casual coming to the men's conference. It is a transformation, a restoration. It's a new beginning. It wouldn't be us to speak to you, because you have men in this country, great men of God. They would be speaking to you. Why are we speaking to you? They were even refusing me to come to your country because of my color, maybe. They didn't know what I was carrying to you guys. Why did we come here? It's a prophetic evening. It's not too late. Stop blaming the past. Leave the past alone. Change your future. You can't change the past. Full stop. But the years ahead of us, we can redeem them. Can someone say amen? Amen. We can. We can. It's not too late. Can you close your eyes? Close your eyes and let's respond to the Holy Spirit this evening. Our worship leaders, please come and help us to lead us into this session, these few minutes. If it happened to Gideon, it can happen to us. We've made many decisions, but we'll make another decision this evening. We can break before the Lord. We can call upon His name. We can't keep blaming our future, our past. Let us redeem our future. Let us look ahead. What do you feel the Lord is speaking to you this day to work on? It's not by power, it's not by might, by His Spirit. You as a man, you can begin a new generation. Lord Jesus, I've just shared my heart with my fellow men. Not because I know much, but the little that you've taught me, that you've helped me to know, to understand, I've given it to them. The same grace that you're giving me, that you're giving us, let be passed on to them, O God, especially those who are struggling with many things in their lives to become what you want them to become. I pray for those who feel they are so much frustrated. Some they've tried, but they feel they can't try again because something happened. It's not yet over. There's a new beginning. Give them hope, new hope. We are sorry we have let you down. We are sorry. Some of the things we never knew what to do as men because we are not mentored. But Lord, we can't give it an excuse. It's time now to change. It's time now, Lord, to move in the right direction. Continue speaking to us throughout this day. That when you're done with us, we'll go back home different. Ready to make the sacrifices, to make the changes that need to be made. Thank you for such a meeting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.